Okay, the boy said today's daf is daf nun tes. We're holding the last line of the narrow lines where the Gemara is quoting from the Mishnah. Back in the Mishnah, we had that there are quite a few what we would call natural phenomena upon which we have to go make a bracha. Shekoichi ulvarosai molei oilam. The first of the list was zvois. And the question is, what is the taich of this voice? Frank Gemara, my voice, what's my voice? Actually, the first one was Zikin. We already discussed that yesterday at some length about meteors or comets or shooting stars. But now we're talking about Zvois. Right? Zvois. Omer Ketina, it's Guha. Guha means an earthquake. It says, Yimorav Ketina have a ka'ozom li ba'orcha. Ketina was traveling. And Kimota Pitzcha de Beit Uva Tamya, when he went by the home of a sorcerer. Rashi says that Uva comes from Oiv V'yadoini, like we have in the Torah. Tami is referring to bones, nothing to do with the word Tuma. And the reason why about Oiv has to do with bones, because that's the whole Indian of the Kishif that the Oiv V'yadoini do, that they do it with bones.
Not always right.
On this point I'm right, but not every time. Anyway, so the Gemara tells us that Rav Ketina was traveling and he came by the home of an Oiv, in other words, a Kishif person from the Oiv Yedoini family, Tamya, that worked with both. Gonach Gua, an earthquake erupted. Omar, and now Rav Ketina said to this Oiv, Miyod Oiv Tamya, Hai Gua Mau, do you know what the earthquake comes from? Ramalei Kala, so the Oiv said now to Rav Ketina in somewhat of a mocking manner, Ketina, Amai lo yadam, don't you know where the earthquake comes from? B'shoah she'Kadosh Baruch Hu zoicher es banav shruyim mitzar, when Kadosh Baruch Hu remembers all of his children that unfortunately they are living in tzar, in other words, because of the Golos, because of the Chorm Beis Hamikdash, and they're living in tzar bein ulam so'olam, Moirid shtei demois the Yamagod. Kaviyachal, the Rabbeinu Shalom goes and starts crying and lets out two tears that fall into the Yamagod. Yamagod is either Mediterranean or the Atlantic Ocean, and they make a major splash. And that splash, you can go and feel that from one end of the world to the other end of the world. And Dos is, that is the earthquake, those two drops, those two teardrops. Rav Ketina said about this Oiv that Uva Tamya Kodivu, the word Kodiv is like the word Kozov, because in Aramaic a Zion in Lashon Kodesh, in Hebrew Zion often is changed to a Dalid, just like Yev Zohar becomes Dechar, Man Dechar Shemei. Anyway, so the word Kodivu means that he's Kozov. This Oiv Tamya is a fake, he's a phony. And what he says is fake news. It's not true. Because Ihochi, if he were correct, then Gua Biboile, there shouldn't only be one earthquake, there should be two earthquakes. Because after all, there were two teardrops. Says Gemara, Velohi. Well, the truth of the matter is that Rav Ketina didn't himself believe what he was saying, but read it rather, Velohi, because Gua Ovid. The Emerson, it does make multiple earthquakes. The reason why Rav Ketina rejected the Uba Tamya, because he was concerned, because if Rav Ketina would say, oh, the Uba Tamya, although he's a bad guy, but what he said is correct, so people are going to go and take from that a message or a lesson that there is some credibility to all of this Kishif called Oiv, and people might start standing online to go and speak to the Oiv fellow and support his trade, etc., etc. So Rav Ketina wanted people to stay away from this Oiv Tamya. However, it could very well be that Rav Ketina agreed that the reason for the earthquake has to do with the Shtei Demois that fall into Yamagot. But then the Gemara gives us a bunch of other reasons. Rav Ketina Didei Amar, Rav Ketina on his own said, I think it really comes from something else. Not from the Shtei Demois, but rather, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyoch L'Soif HaKapav. He claps his hands. Shenemar, V'gamani Ake Kapi Al Kapi, V'anichoisi Chamosi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry, and before that he goes and claps his hands, and as a result of the clapping of the hands, there's an earthquake. Rav Nosson Oimer, the reason for the earthquake is, Anocha Misaneach, Kaviyoch L'Rabbeinu Shalom gives Akrachts. He gives a deep sigh. Shenemar v'nichoyisi chamasi bam v'nichamti. You remember yesterday the Gemara said that when a person gives a deep sigh, then it could be shaveres chatzi gufa shel adam, or it could even be shaveres kol gufa shel adam. If a havdu when the Kodesh Baruch Hu gives a kraft, gives a sigh, then it can destroy the whole world, and at least it can make a major earthquake. So that was the third reason. But Rabban and Amri, the Rabban say, have a fourth reason. By Rakia, Kodesh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol goes and gives a kick to the Rakia, to the sky. Shenemar, Heidod, Kedoruchin Yana El Kol Yoishvei Ha'aretz. The word Heidod is an expression that people use when they want to go and be mezares, those people that are treading, for instance, on a novim or on zaysim to try to go and get out the juices. So they say, Heidod means, no, shnel. Maybe in English they would say, hey, dude, come on. Go quicker in your dricha. So here too, Kaviyach the Bnei Shalom is in a sense stepping on the rakia, and as a result is an earthquake. Rebacha b'Yankev Omar doichik es ragav tachas kisei hakoved. Kodesh Baruch Hu sits on his heavenly throne, and underneath the heavenly throne there's a footstool which is called Hadoim Ragvai. So as the Kodesh Baruch Hu is trying to squeeze his feet, Kaviyochel, underneath his throne, that causes the earthquake. Shenema Koyamar Hashem, Hashemayim Kisi, Vaoretz Hadoim Ragvai. So we have over here in the Gemara five or so different reasons for the earthquakes, either because of the two demois that fall into the Yam HaGadol, or a Kodesh Baruch Hu is clapping his hands, or a Kodesh Baruch Hu is giving a sigh, or a Kodesh Baruch Hu is giving a kick to the Rekia, or a Kodesh Baruch Hu is putting his feet on his footstool, Kaviyachol. Those are the reasons for the earthquake, and we continue on. V'al HaRa'omim. Ra'omim is thunder. And thunder, you make the bracha. Shekoich v'grasim v'ali oilem. Praytim on my ra'amim. What's the taich of, not what's the taich? We know that it's thunder. The question is, where does the thunder come from? That great sound in the sky, where does that come from? So, Om Shmuel anoni begalgala. Anoni begalgala, says Rashi, means that there's a collision between two anonim, between two clouds. Rashi says that they're scraping against one another, they're rubbing against one another, and that causes the major sound called thunder. Shnema kol ramcha v'galgal he'iru brokim tevel rogza v'tirash ha'oret. That ram v'galgal upstairs, that tremendous noise, that tremendous thunder is v'galgal because of the rubbing against one cloud against the other, and that lights up the sky, and that makes rogza v'tirash ha'oret, people get all scared and all nervous. Rabban and Amri anoni deshafchi mai lahadoti. Not that they are rubbing and banging against each other, but that they are transferring, they're pouring water from one to the other. Shenem lekoil titoi hamoin mayim bashamoin. The coil of the handing over, the titoi solution and the sina, the titoi hamoin mayim, by pouring over the huge quantities of water up in the heavens. That sound that you hear down below, that's that thunder. Barak is referring to lightning. You have a strong lightning bolt, the Borek Banona, that goes and challenges, attacks, so to speak, the Anonim, the clouds, and as a result, a mitbar, and it breaks, Gezizi the Barza, pieces of Borod. Barza and Borod, again, the Zion and Dalaram Mishalif. It means that surrounding or part of the clouds are filled not only with water, but also with hailstones or hail. And now this lightning comes, attacks it, and to a certain degree melts it, and then it comes down, and that thunderous sound that you hear in the breaking of the borad, of the hail, dosais the thunder. Ravashi Omar Anoni Chalchule Machalkali, we're talking about hollow and empty clouds, v'yosi zika, and then comes a strong wind, umenashav pumayu, and blows on the opening of those hollow clouds, the dummy, and it sounds similar to kizika al pum dani, that if you have an open barrel, and then a draft comes by, you can also sometimes hear a sound like an echo, something coming out of those barrels as the wind is blowing on top of them. So here you go, when it blows on top. For those of you that when you were younger, if you ever played with balloons and you would go and blow them up, and then afterwards you would let the air out, very often the air coming out would make a very funny sound. So here too you have the air coming out of these clouds by the wind passing by, and that causes all this noise. Of all these reasons that were given, the one that's most established, Racha B'Yankiv, what did Racha B'Yankiv say? Deborik Barka, that you have the lightning bolt, goes and strikes against the clouds, Menami Anoni, and then Anoni make noises, the Yossi Mitra, and as we said, the Borod, the hail, comes dislodged, and becomes broken and turns into water and becomes rain, and then that's the theory behind the sounding of the thunder. The Al Ruchais. Then we said right to the Mishnah that if you have Ruchais, if you have winds, you also have to make the bracha. And of course, we don't just mean any wind, but rather my Ruchais Amar Abaye Zafa. These means the very, very furious winds. The word Zaf normally means fury or means anger. So what type of wind? So we're talking about really major, major, major winds, such as, or including, tornadoes and hurricanes and things of that. Those are winds of destruction, if you will. Not weapons of destruction, but winds of destruction. So Rabbi says, we have a Kabbalah that you don't have these types of hurricanes or tornadoes at night. What are you talking about? You have tornadoes and hurricanes at night just like you have during the day. What he meant to say is they never start at night, they start during the day, and then they can go and continue to cause destruction and havoc at night, but the haschul is always during the day. We also have another Kabbalah. You don't have these types of hurricanes or tornadoes for more than 2 hours. The kai mashadem, we like to call them the kaim the pasik, leisokim pamayim tzara. There won't be a kiyum of pamayim of two tzara of tzaras. We see that sometimes these hurricanes or these tornadoes last for more than 2 hours. So gemara the mafsik beni beni. It never goes 2 hours and 1 minute in one stretch. After 2 hours, or within the 2 hours, is at least a breather, at least a 1 minute, 2 minute, whatever, hefsik, and then unfortunately it can start all over again. And finally, we have the Mishnah of Brokim. Brokim is referring to lightning. Omer Baruch Shekoich Barosay Molei Oyler. My Brokim Omer Rava Barka. Barka means a lightning bolt. The Omer Rava Barka Yichidah. If you have only one lightning bolt, or Barka Chiver. If you have white lightning, or Barka Yiraita. And if you have either green or yellow lightning, Vanoni Desalkan. And if you have clouds that leave Mikeren Marovis from the western corner, the Asian Mikeren Droimis, and then they come around from the southern corner, Betarti Anoni the Salkan, and you have two Anonim that are going one against the other, what happens? Chodali Api Chaberta, each one is kind of steering towards the other and going in that direction. Kulo Kashyan, all of those types of phenomena are bad for the climate, bad for the environment, bad for the earth. Why is he telling us this? I mean, Hakadosh Baruch Hu is in control. We think that we can go and control the climate by spending a few billion dollars, but we cannot. Hakadosh Baruch Hu is in control of all of that, so why is he telling us all of this? That if you see any of these phenomena in the sky, you know that it's time to go and take out your tilim and start davening to Hashem. But all of this is only a concern at night. If any of these phenomena take place in the morning, there's nothing to be concerned about. As the Gemara says, when you see the clouds of the morning, there's no mamashes, you have nothing to worry about, they'll all pass. Like it said in the pasuk, the Novi is saying to Klal Yisrael, and particularly saying to Ephraim, the chesed that you did is really a hollow chesed that doesn't really have any real substance. It's like the anonym, it's like the clouds that you see in the morning. They come, you think, oh, there's going to be rain, there's going to be plentiful rain and water coming down. The anon boike, afterwards it passes by and it doesn't give you any rain at all. So your chesed is nothing, just like anon boike, just like the anonym of the morning. Omli rapapu li abaya. People say just the opposite. That people have an expression that when you get up in the morning and you see that there's mutter about to hit that's going to come down, then bar chamra, you that run or that travel with an ezel is a donkey, you donkey driver, what was the main occupation, or what was the occupation of the donkey drivers that we're talking about over here, says Rashi, to be schleppers, to go and schlep tvua from place to place. If you see in the morning as you get up that it looks dark and it looks like it's going to go and rain, then moich sakich, what you should do is go and take your sack, go and fold it up, put it underneath your head, the goni, and go to sleep. don't bother going and traveling now. Why shouldn't you bother traveling now? Says Rashi, because as a result of the fact that there's going to be emet shem lots of rain, then the chitim are going to go down in price because it's going to be a huge supply. So you can assume that you can go on an extended vacation because fortunately there's going to be so much chitim, we're not going to need you to go and schlep them, imokam, imokam, wherever you're going to go, there's going to be plentiful. Anyways, the mashmois of this gemara is that if you wake up in the morning and you see clouds and you see rain, it's going to storm and it's going to come down. You just said a moment ago that clouds in the morning are worthless, but lekash, it depends what type of clouds. Are you talking about thick clouds? The fancy English term for thick clouds is cumulus clouds. Cumulus clouds on the horizon, those can produce great amounts of rain. Or the kotev anoni, that's called cirrus clouds. Cirrus are not serious clouds. They happen to be just very thin whispers of clouds. They come and go rather quickly, and they have no value. So that the Gemara said before, the Anan Boiker, that it's worthless, are these very thin cirrus clouds, as opposed to the cumulus clouds. If you see those, that's a simon that there might be lots of rain, and you, Bar Chamra, take a vacation. Omer B'Tzani, Omer B'Shu Ben Levi, Le'nivru Ra'omim, El Lifshoit Akmumis Shevaleit. The reason why Kodesh Baruch Hu created thunder is to go and straighten out any crooked parts of a person's heart. Shnemar Kim Asa Shiro Mufana. The reason why Kodesh Baruch Hu created thunder is that people should have some Yirah Shamayim. They should start going and thinking, who's the one creating the thunder? The Almighty, and therefore maybe they'll do tshuva. Maybe they have some Hirure tshuva. What happens if a person sees a rainbow? He should go immediately prostrate himself and bow down. So you see that that's the proper way of responding when you see a rainbow. However, like Marovin, they were very critical about people that would go and prostrate themselves. It's almost as if you're making the rainbow into an avodah zarah, that you're bowing down to it. So therefore, they discourage that type of response to the keshes. What bracha should we do? Baruch zoyecher habris. That we remember the bris that Kodesh Baruch Hu made after the mabul metnoyach, etc. Masisa tam in the bris, it says, Rabbi Shmuel, the noish of Yerchum, pray koimer. Nemon bevrisei vekayim bemamoroi. That's what you should do. Kodesh Baruch Hu remembers and he's faithful to the bris that he made, that he's never going to destroy the world again. And even though maybe the world deserves to be destroyed, and that's why it deserves to be coronavirus all over, killing people, etc. But it could evoke the Mekai and Mamaroi, and therefore he makes the bris and goes to the rainbow, etc. So we have a machlokes, what bracha should you make? Amra Papa! And this is now the famous word that Mendi discovered in the Heptika Ruf, and he went and showed it and revealed it to the Gantz Klai Yisrael, in this beautiful mamar. What did the Papa say? Hilkach, the Manila Tabai, let's go and say both together.
So
is this the first time that we have it in Shas?
No.
What was the first time?
We had it previously.
The first time we had this, the reason why Mendy is in Vela Verafi the other day, because we had a belief in that, it was Gedal and Mendy, wasn't it? No? Back on sorry? Because it wasn't Yitalin, we had it, let's see, from Abiyatha, we've had it before, on the side, you're not going to find the puppet, that's the truth. Okay, it was Yir Aleph from the base, we go back to Yir Aleph from the base, we had a machloikis, what type of broch are you supposed to make on Birchas HaToyre? So you see about two-thirds down the Yomid, Mayim Mavorach, Rav Yira Meshmul, Asher Gishom Soitzik Tzivonu, La'asik, B'divri Soira, or the Vilna Goyen on the side, or the Gilead Shas on the side, had another Girsa, a little bit differently. Anyway, Rav Yochan, Messiah, Bahachi, Haram, Hashem, Lekinet, Rav Yisrael, Befinu, etc. And then you had Rav Amnuna, Omar, Asher, Bacha, Bonu, Mikol, Amin, Asloni, Asher, Asher, Baruch, Atu, Hashem, Noisin, Atoira, Omar, Rav Amnuna, Zimu, Ulu, Sheba, Brachos, Hilkach, Lemrin, Lekulu. It looks like Rav Amnuna has taken away Rav Papa's job, and he's the one that says he should go and say all three of these brachas together, the last with the Rei Soira, and then the Harav Noah, and then the Asher Baruch Haban. However, right before the Hilkach Nemenu, you have the asterisk of the Gilyan Hashas. The Gilyan Hashas brings, Perif V'Harosh HaGirsa, Omer Papa Hilkach Memnulet Lekula. So therefore, that was the first time that we had Rapapa, at least according to the Rif and the Rosh and the Rikiv Aiger. So we already had one, and now this is the second time in Chas. Question is, Mendy, do you have a list of those 10? Is that included in the list? Because the Gemara itself refers to Rav Hanuna, and it's the Rif and Rosh that refer to Rapapa. So you'll check it out and you'll let us know. Anyway, so today is either the first or the second in Chas of the 10. Of the 10 Rev puppets.
Should one be careful about staring at the keshet?
That's what it says in halacha. It's important. Our Gemara over here, it says when should avoid.
Yeah, and also when we're talking about lightning, is there thunder first before you, because of some saying right. The lightning could be
what?
Some kind of flash of
exactly.
Light, but not really lightning per se.
Which comes first, the lightning or the thunder?
The lightning comes first. Light travels faster than sound.
Right. Okay.
So the concern is not so much about the lightning, because you very often see the lightning bolt, but the sounds could be misleading, because sometimes people think that it's X, Y, or Z, and it turns out it's something else. You often hear, Rahman al-Islam, after there's an attack and people shot with guns and stuff, they thought, I just thought some tires had just burst, or I just heard that somebody was thought large banging on a thing, or somebody was drilling in the floor, or something else popped. They didn't realize it was a gunfire. It's the same thing with thunder. Sometimes you think it's thunder, and afterwards you realize really that there was an accident 3 blocks away, or whatever it is.
Why do we say Osamasa Bracious on lightning if the Gemara is saying it's Shekocho Grosso Molino?
That's a very good question. I don't know the answer to it. I recommend that you do further research, or you speak to a competent Orthodox
scholar.
That's what it says in the Mishnah. It says right in the Mishnah, after we went through the lengthy list that we just recited of the Zikin and the Zvo'ois and the Ra'omim, the Ruchois and the Brokim, on all of which we say the Bracha of Shekoich Ugvarosim Mole Olam, after that the Mishnah has another list of the Horim and the Gvois and the Necholim that you go and make another Bracha, and that's the Oysa Masa Breshis Bracha. After all those things that we listed until now are also Masa Breishas. The Kodesh Baruch Hu created them, and now we see them and feel those phenomena. So why wouldn't we make an Oysa Masa Breishas on them? Why only the Harim and the Gvois? Boksiv, Barakim LaMatar Asa. Kodesh Baruch Hu created the Barakim and for the Matar, so why don't we make the Barak on that as well? The Oysa Masa Breishas. So Rabbi says, Kodesh B'ton Inachanani, Rabbi says, take the two lists in our Mishnah and combine them together, and therefore have now a combined list of the Zikin and the Zvois and the Ra'omim and the Brokim and the Ruchais and the Horim and the Gvois, all of those things which are listed in the Mishnah, put them all together as one, and on each one of them make both Brachos. Every time that you hear thunder, make both Brachos. You see lightning, both Brachos. Earthquake, both Brachos. That's how Abai answers. Rav Amar, no. I don't like going and mixing the two. Leave them the way they are in the Mishnah. Hasim Avorech Tarti. Tak, on the first group, I agree with you. You can make both Brachos. Baruch Shekoichuk Mali Olam. In other words, Koichuk Vrosim Mali Olam. The Oysa Masa Breishas. Why? Because there it's not just Oysa Masa Breishas. Because Baruch was made this major wonder in the Breishas. But you hear the Koichuk Vrosai. It's not only that Hashem created the earthquake. You hear the earthquake. You hear the Ra'amim. You hear the great thunder. Etc. etc. Therefore, it would be appropriate to say both. However, Hoch and the second list of the Horim and the Gvois. Oysa Masa Breishas. Ikoichuk Vrosim Mali Olam. If you go and see a beautiful Mount Everest, or you see a beautiful scenery on which our Mishnah says you make Oysa Masa Breishas, but you don't hear the Koichuk V'rosoi, because the Horim is not making any sounds, it could be a very, very quiet day, so it would not be appropriate to go and say that Bracha of the Koichuk V'rosoi, and that's why Rava says we have two separate lists.
How can we make a Bracha on a disaster? We should say Baruch Dynamis on an earthquake.
Not necessarily that the earthquake caused damage. If you have an earthquake, you can have an earthquake in the middle of the ocean or in the middle of Chavais in Antarctica or something. The only ones that are affected by are some penguins or something. If, in fact, it causes major damage, maybe you should say dynamis. However, the initial reaction when you hear an earthquake is that you go and make the bracha of the Koich Bracha and Moli Adam.
I think the bench gonal is the right bracha to make.
Okay. If you think that you're in the...
In danger.
Yeah. In danger, by all means, it isn't tight. Omer b'shuvan levi, haroya rakia b'tarasa, a person who goes out in the morning and sees a beautiful sky, not a cloud in sight, Oimi makes a bracha, baruch oisa maase bereishis. So Shaina Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world. Amosai, when does this occur? Amar Rabbi Ki, osa mitra kule laiva. If you have a night where it's pouring the whole night, ubitzaf in the morning, osa istana, a wind comes, umagayu l'shmai, and wipes it all away, and pushes away all of the clouds, and now, Baruch Hashem, the rain stops, and it's gorgeous! Then you make that brach. However, please the rough from my papa, Amr Chizda, the Amr Fara from my papa, Amr Chizda, the Yem Shekhar Beis Amigdish, Loi Niris Rekiva Terasa. Ever since the Chor Beis Amigdish, there is no such thing. It doesn't exist. Shemem Albish Shemayim Kadris, Besak Osim Kisusam. So, although, of course, you may have some clear days where you see, you don't see a cloud in the sky, but it's still not the Rekiva Terasa like it was before the Chor Beis Amigdish, and therefore, this bracha no longer applies. Okay, now Rabbi Yisai, we're going to get into a very gishmak sugya, and that has to do with the Roya Chama B'Tekufasa. That's the famous rear mitzvah that we have every 28 years that we make the Birchas Hacham. Now, the figuring out exactly how do we get to the 28 years will be a little bit challenging, but it's not that difficult. We'll all put on our thinking caps, and Reb Simcha is here with us, will help us with a little bit with the algebra and the geometry, and imagine everything is going to go. Everything will go very smoothly. So it's on our button. We learn the Brisa. Haroya chama tkufasa. A person sees a chama in its tkufa. We'll see what that means momentarily. Or you see the levana bigvurasa, bikachomim siloisam, umazolus kisidran, oimer baruch oise, or it says in the side, baruch oise maase bereishis. You make that special bracha. Now, the Gemara doesn't explain the levana bigvurasa, the kachamim siloisam, mazolus kisidran, and the maise, we don't paskin like that. Anyway, we only do it on the chama tkufasa. It's not clear what those are, the levana bikvurasa. It certainly doesn't mean every time we make kiddush levana once a month, or it's not really kiddush levana, it's birchas levana. It's not referring to that. We don't make the bracha oisim maase bereishis. It means something more, having to do just like the chama tkufasa with all the revolutions and rotations, and it goes around. So levana, something as well. Chum siloisim. There are very, very few people that know all the constellations of the stars and how they travel. So that would be a little bit difficult. Mazol is kisidron. You see the constellations in order. Not sure exactly what a constellation is. I just know that there's stars up in the sky. So presumably that's the reason why this didn't become, popular or effective. Anyway, let's find out a bit about this Chama Tekufasa. Now, the Gemara is only going to explain it for about two lines. You have a lengthy Rashi over here. Of course, you have much, much, much more in the Mefarshim. But we're going to learn it, I think, fairly simply, and we'll be able to hopefully understand at least the superficial understanding of this Chama Tekufasa. So, Omer Abaye, Kol Chof Ches Shonin. It happens once in 28 years. V'hodr Machzor, that's when the Machzor of the Machzor HaGadol, like Rashi called it, that major cycle has ended. The Noflut Kufas Nissen, so the Kufas Nissen now begins once again, Bib Shapsoi. Shapsoi is the name of one of seven Sho'ois, Rashi refers to it. Could be that's also, he means one of seven planets. Some say that Shapsoi is referring to Saturn. We'll see, Mer Teshem. Be'orta, in the evening, Titlas, when the third day ends, in other words, when Tuesday ends, Nagi Arba, and Wednesday is about to begin. For simplicity, as we'll see Rashi, we will assume that this means Tuesday night at 6 o'clock, and that's when the night begins of Wednesday. As we know in the Jewish calendar, the days begin in the evening. Okay, so Tuesday night, when the Tkufas Nissen hits, that's when once every 28 years, you make that bracha, Chama Tkufasa. Now, how does that all work? Let's see the Rashi, and Mirat Hashem will hopefully get an understanding of what we're talking about. So if you look, Kol Chof Cheshonim, Rashi is the third line from the top. Every 28 years, Shal Tkufas Nisan, Shebesoif Chof Ches, at the end of 28 years, Kishechoizim Machzer Godol, when that great cycle, Shal Chama of the sun, Liois Tekufa Neifeles Peshas, Tlias Hama Oirois, so that the Kufa is going to come out at the same time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was told that he hung out, so to speak, the Ma'oirois on Yoim HaRavi of the Sheshes Shivas Yimei Bereshes, Bib Shapsoi, in that hour which is called Shapsoi, he Shah Tchilas Leil Dalet. Every single Wednesday evening, or the Tuesday night, eve of Wednesday, always that time when the new night begins, that is called Shapsoi, as we'll see in the Gemara shortly. But orta the class nagi dalit. What does that mean? She had of shimshay shel gimel b'shabbes. That Tuesday is about to end. It's herif shemesh, meaning now we are beginning. It's now shkia time. It's now tesek chum time. V'yaskal leil dalit, and Wednesday is about to begin. Nagi means leil. That means the eve. Kamrim b'psachem b'shmaitza kamaisa teika duchta dekor leila nagi. In certain places they call night nagi. Shabsoi. That shem shori shoyna shel leil dalid. That's the first hour of the eve of Wednesday. In other words, Tuesday night. Shem oisah shoh nitlu moiris, because that's when the Kadosh Baruch Hu hung out the moiris at the times of Shivas Yimei Breishis. As you know, when you go into Breishis and you look in Yom Ravi, that's when the Kadosh Baruch Hu took out the moiris, and Morah Godel, and Morah Hakotin, and the Krichovim, etc., etc. B'sheva shois hein, b'choizreis cholila. You have seven of these all together. Of these meaning Shabsoi and the other six, and they keep on going one after the other. Shatzam Chanchal. What do Shatzam and Chanchal mean? These are Rosh Tevis. Shin is standing for the Shabsoi. The Tzaddik, as we're going to see in the Gemara, or actually not in the Gemara, but we're going to see later in the Rashi is going to spell out each one of these. The Tzaddik stands for Tzedek. The Mem stands for Madim, Ches stands for Chama, the Nun stands for Noiga, Chof stands for Koichov, Lamed stands for Levana. So those are the seven, and they all go around Cholila, meaning they go one after the other in a rotation. And these are every 7 hours. Timtza behekiv sidran shol oilam simoni shoist chiles halelois katznash cholam. Katznash cholam are the identical words or the identical letters that we just had now, but they're in a different order. If you see the Shatzam Chanchal and Katznash Chalam, these are all the same letters. Then why are they in a different order? So for this, it's a very, very simple explanation. Again, the first 7 hours, for instance, starting on Tuesday night, beginning on Wednesday, start from 6 o'clock in the evening. 6 o'clock is Shabsoi, is the one that reigns at that time. When you get to 7 o'clock, then it becomes the Tzedek is in charge. When you get to 8 o'clock, Madim is in charge. You get to 9 o'clock, the Chesav Cham is in charge. The Nun and Noiga is in charge at 10 o'clock, and Chof at 11 o'clock. Chof again is Koichov, and Lamed is the Levana, and so on and so forth. You take those 7 hours in a row. When you finish with Levana after 7 hours, then you start all over again, the Shatzam Chanchal. And when you finish those 7 hours, you start again, Shatzam Chanchal. And therefore, over 21-hour period, you've gone through these seven shois three times. Always in the same order, Shatzam Chanchal, Shatzam Chanchal, etc. So that's 21 hours out of the 24 hours. So now I'm left with the remaining 3 hours. Okay, so those last 3 hours will again be Shatzam. Fine, and with that I will have finished off the entire 24-hour day that started off with Tuesday night and ended off with Wednesday night. Now when I start Wednesday night, I'm not going to start with Shabsoi anymore, because I just finished now Shatzam. Those are the last 3 hours. So therefore, on Wednesday night, I'm going to start with the Ches, and that's why, if you look in the mnemonic, the second one, the Katznash Chalam, the Shin, which is Shabsoi, that was the first hour of Wednesday Eve, in other words, end of Tuesday night, beginning of Wednesday, and now 24 hours later, starting on Wednesday night, beginning of Thursday, that's the Ches, because that's what we're up to. We just finished now the Shatzam for the fourth time that day. We went through three full cycles of 21, 3 times 7 is 21, now we're up to Shatzam, those are the final 3 hours. So now the next night, what do we start with? We're going to start with the Ches, the Chama. That's why in this Katznash Chalam, we say that the next night begins with the Ches. And now Rashi goes through it in at length. Rashi says, Motzei Shabbos, the first one that you have from your Shatzam Chanchal, the first one is going to be Koichov. Aha. Which means right after Koichov, the next is going to be the Lamed, it's going to be the Levana. In other words, going back to the original Shatzam Chanchal, you're going to start off with Koichov, the next one is going to be Levana, the next hour is going to be Shabsoi, the next hour is going to be the Tzedek, and so on and so forth. It's going to go three times. By the time you've finished the three cycles of this Shatzam Chanchal, you're going to be left with, again, the last three. And that last three are going to repeat it again, and that's going to be the Chof, the Lamed, and the Shin. So therefore, the next night, meaning on, this was Motzei Shabbos, so now on Sunday night, which is Chilas Leil Beis, so now you're up to Tzedek. right? Because you've gone through three full cycles of seven, and you added three more, so the next one in line will be the tzedek. And that's why Rashi said the katznash chalam, that the first night, Motzei Shabbos, is going to be koichub, then Sunday night it's going to be tzedek, the third night, tchilas leil gimel, Monday night is going to be noiga, tchilas leil revi is going to be shabtsoi, our shabtsoi, which we just mentioned. And then tchilas leil hay is going to be chama, tchilas leil shishi is going to be levana, tchilas leil Shabbos is going to be madim. And that's your Rosh Hashanah katznash chalam, which are not the order of the seven shoois that Rashi referred to earlier, because that's the shatzam chamchal, that's the order. But this is the order of how it's going to come out every night, starting at the beginning of the new eve of the new day. So if it's Matzah Shabbos, starting now, the brand new Sunday on Matzah Shabbos, let's take it easy at 6 o'clock, so at that time will be the Koichov, then 24 hours later it's going to be the Tzedek, and 24 hours later it's going to be the Noiga, each time because we have used up three full series of the Shatzam Chamchal, and three more, because we had the repetition, it's 24 hours, not just 21 hours, so that's why you always go to the next one. Okay, so far so good. Any questions, or everybody's more or less happy?
In the 3 hours,
yes,
that remain, we have the same masor as in the 7 hours, previous 21 hours in seven.
Exactly. We just repeat it once again. So, for instance, if we started on Wednesday Eve, or Tuesday night, which is the eve of Wednesday, so we start off with Shabsoi at 6 o'clock, and 7 o'clock was Tzedek, and 8 o'clock was Madim, and 9 o'clock and 10 o'clock, we went through all 7 hours, the Shatzam Chanchal, now we're up to 1 o'clock in the morning, so then we go another 7 hours, which brings us to 8 o'clock in the morning, and then another 7 hours, which would bring us to 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and so on and so forth. So from 3 now until 6 at night, I only have 3 hours left, right. So that the Shatzam will now be repeated for the fourth time that day, and that's why the next night we'll start with the Ches, with the Chama.
These elements are planets, what are they?
I'm not exactly sure, no, I think you have to...
What concept do we apply?
Rashi just refers to it as Shoyis. If you see the art scroll he has on it, Kanai Nahara, two or three pages full and full and full of lengthy, lengthy footnotes. This is. Would you like to add something?
No, I have a question. Kashnetz Chalam. So I understand that you have three cycles and your remainder. You need to fill it up with three.
Right.
So what's the Kashnetz Chalam now? I'm
Kashnetz Chalam is now the Rosh Tevis of the first beginning of these shoys every single night.
So on Thursday night. So for instance, on Thursday night now.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's start with Motzei Shabbos.
Okay.
So Motzei Shabbos is Kochav.
That's
Kochav.
Right. That's the first letter of the Katznash Chalam.
Well, okay. So we start with Kochav. So then we have three cycles of Shatzam Chanchal.
Right.
And then now what are the remaining three hours, what are those on Sunday evening before Monday starts?
It's Kuf, Lamed, Shin. Then Tak's next one. Those 3 hours are the first three. From Kuf, right?
It always goes in Shatzam Chanchal. It always goes no matter what, it goes in those orders. But
starting on Tuesday night.
On
Matzah Shabbos.
Matzah Shabbos it starts with
Chof, Lamed,
Shin, Sadi, Mem, Ches, Nun.
Perfect.
And then continues. And at the end, Sunday evening, it finishes again. Chof, Lamed, Shin.
That would be the third. That would be the fourth time that day, and that would be the final three hours
of Sunday. Now Monday evening. So Monday.
You can start with.
Let me see the Tchilas.
You did right.
Tzedek. So
Tzedek. So that's so what it says on
Rashi. Sadi the Shin, Sadi the Shin, Sadi the Shin. And then we finish again with Sadi Mem Ches.
Right.
Okay, that's Monday afternoon, Monday evening.
And what's going to happen? The next one is going to start with Nun, with Noiga.
Noiga.
So that's why you have that Katznash. The first night started with Koichav.
Right.
Second night started with Tzedek. Third night started with Noiga.
So it always interrupts whatever. So you always have three cycles of seven plus three more of the beginning of the sequence.
Exactly.
And then you reset everything with sundown the next day with the next letter of the Kashnatz Chalam of the days of the week.
It's not really resetting. You just continue on in your seven. Three have already been used up by the previous day, part of the 24 hours.
3 hours.
And now you continue on with the remaining 4 hours. And then, of course, you add three more to have your seven. So, for instance, going back to the original example, Rashi says that the first Matzah Shabbos is Koichav.
Right.
So you just, as you correctly pointed out, so we're going to go through that night, the Koichav, going back to the original Shatzam Chanchal. So the first 7 hours are going to be Chof through
Nun.
Through the Nun, exactly.
And again and again. And now we're going to conclude with Chof Lamed Shin.
Which is going to be the final 3 hours.
I see. And then the Tzadi is, so the second mnemonic is to tell you how this repeating sequence plays out as it's distributed over the week.
So the next night, we're going to start with?
It's the Tzadi. It's Tzadik.
Okay, good. So now looking now after the Katnash Chalam, Metzoy Shabbos starts with Koichav, that's the Chof. Chiddes Leil Beis, 24 hours later, we're going to start with the Tzadi.
I see.
Now, what's going to be the next night? So, if you started off the next night with a tzadi, so it's again, you're going to start not with a shin, you're going to start with a tzadik.
And then you have a tzadi, mem, and then ches, and you start with a nun.
Shin is going to be the last one, right?
No, ches.
1 second. Of the seven hours since you're starting with a tzadik, then shin is going to be the last one. You're going to go through that three times. What happens is, therefore, that every single evening of every single week, of every single month, of every single year, when you're starting off the Leil Revi, it always starts off the Shabsoi, because that's the way the normal cycle runs. And for instance, every Friday night, you always start off with Madim, and that's why there is a minik in many, many Mekoimois, because the Gemara Masechta Shabbos says the Madim has some relationship to Dam, to blood, and therefore it's considered to be an inauspicious hour. So many, many places, the minik is not to start making Kiddush from the hour of 6 to 7 on Friday nights. This is many of you may not have even heard of this custom, but this is a custom in many different communities. In our own Reb Simcha, I believe, is machmer on this minig, and would not make Kiddush between 6 and 7.
Exceptionally like that.
I remember the Melitz Rebbe Zatzal, who lived here on 90th Street, when Shabbos was at such a time that they finished Maariv Matzah Shabbos, not Matzah Shabbos, Friday night, they finished it at 5 to 6. He would call Weisalem Agad Shabbos Olam, and then he would run up the steps so that he would be able to make Kiddush before 6 o'clock and not to hold his whole family having to wait an additional hour until 7 o'clock. Sorry? Most people just do it from 6 to 7 throughout the year, regardless of the Zmanim. They just do 6. There may be some show Zmanis, but most people do 6 to 7. Yeah.
Why not between 6 and 7? What is this?
Madim has a negative connotation. Mitchum will see at the end of Masechta Shabbos, they're going to go through some of these constellations and say that person was born in the mazel of Madim, either that person, Chatzav Sholem, is going to become a murderer, Cholila, or if you can be mated, the person is going to become a Moil or a Shaychet. But the person born in that Zman is going to be busy with blood. So hopefully the positive blood, not chas v'shalom, negative blood. Anyway, but that's considered to be a bad omen, so that's why you have that custom in many communities. Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara, so far what we've been able to establish is that from the beginning of creation, back in Shivas Mei Breishis, Tov Shin Pei, 5,780 years ago, it's always been the same way that on Tuesday evening, beginning of Wednesday, we always start off with Shabsoi. And that's why our Gemara said, "Emes haba omer abay kol chav cheshonin hadamachsev nafal tchul v'nissen b'shabsoi ba'orta ditlas." When the Tuesday ends, nagi arba, and Wednesday is about to begin. Okay, so far so good. Now we have to go and add another couple of factors over here. We still have to get to 28 years. Is zokti more abayter? The sfeid tchilas hayomim kalois hashachar is chalam katznash. So based on that, the Alois HaShachar in the morning, go and add the 12 hours from nightfall until morning, so then it wouldn't start Katznash Chalam, but it'd still be Chalam Katznash, which is basically the same thing, we're just going and starting
moving further, moving further along the sequence.
Exactly. We're starting at a different beginning point. Instead of starting 6 o'clock at night, we're starting in the morning. Anyway, Utkufa Moisheches Mechaberta Zayin Shois Umechza. Kloima Mesecheres Achar Hayoim Vahashoa Shenof Lebo Chaberta Zayin Shois Umechza. We all know that there are four solar seasons every single year. We have the winter, we have the spring, we have the summer, and we have the fall. That's, everybody is well aware of that. Now, how long do these tkufos last? So Rashi tells us that each one of them lasts for 91 days and an additional 7.5 hours. How does that work out? 91 days and 7.5 hours. Yes, let's go and do simple multiplication. 4 times 91 gets us to how many?
364.
364, right? Reb Simcha Yemaskim, 4 times 91 gets us to 364. 4 times 1 is roughly 4. 4 times 9 is 36. It's 364. That thing that finished Anka Grace, good. Good. Now we have an additional 7.5 hours each time. If we multiply 4 times 7.5, 4 times 7 comes out to be roughly 28. 4 times a half comes out to be roughly is 2. 2 plus 28 is roughly 30. 30 is how many days do you have in 30 hours? You have one day, 24 hours, and then you have a remainder of 6 hours. 6 hours, of course, is a quarter of a day. Aha! So therefore, once you go through a whole year, 4 times your 91 plus the 7.5 hours, you get to 364 plus 1.25, which means 365 days and a quarter. And that's approximately how many days you have throughout every single year. You have 365 and a quarter days. Now, ideally, if you could go and start the new year always at the hour of the new year, so then you wouldn't start the new year 2020 at 12 o'clock in the morning. You'd go and do it at 6 o'clock in the morning because it would be 6 hours. And then the next year, 2021, you would go and start the new year at 12 hours midday. And the next year, you'd go and start it at 6 o'clock in the evening. And then the next year, 6 o'clock midnight, and so on and so forth. But that would be kind of difficult for people to follow. So therefore, what they do is we make up for the extra quarter of a day every 4 years. And that's why this year was a leap year. Can you imagine? That's why we had to have that additional day. So we should come back to the normal cycle of the 365 because we had that extra quarter of a day. Okay, all of that is fascinating. How does that fit into our equation? So that's what we're going to talk about. Back to the Rashi. Tkufa Meshechas, every single season is greater than Nimshech, more extends beyond Chaverta, Zayin Shoyis Mechta, an additional 7.5 hours. Kloimer, it doesn't mean that it extends more, because every Tkufa has an additional 7.5 hours. Kloimer Misacheres, it delays. Achar Hayoyim V'Hashoh, Shnoflu B'Chaverta, Zayin Shoyis Mechta. If the previous Tkufa started, L'moshel, 12 o'clock midnight, the next Tkufa, 91 and days, and 7.5 hours later, is going to start at 7:30. The tkufa, of course, doesn't affect how we count the days and the weeks and the months, and therefore, astronomically, what's going to happen is if the tkufa of winter started at 12 o'clock, so then the tkufa of spring is going to start at 7:30 in the morning, so to speak. Okay. Now if we add the 7.5 hours for each one of the tkufos, we multiply it by 4, so we already did the arithmetic. 4 times 7.5 gets you to 30 hours. Every year is an additional 1.25 days. And therefore, if you're talking about over a 4-year period, since each one of those years you've added 1.25 days, 4 times 1.25 gives you 5 yamim, gives you 5 days. So far, so good. The Maratesh ain't kufa neifeles betchilas halayla el lesoif dalit shonim shumachser koton. The tkufa is not going to start betchilas halayla unless you're talking about after 4 years, which is the machser koton. And zayin machserim ketanim is the machser godoil. What is Rashi referring to with his dalit shonim chamishi yamim? What is all of this about? Okay, so let's try to figure this out once again. Let's assume that in a given year, first day of the year was on January 1st, was on a Sunday. Okay, so far so good. Now, we're going to go into the next year. A year later, we're now 365 days. The 365 days, we're going to go and add over the entire year 1.25 days. So what that should mean is, if it started on the first year on Sunday, that the next year should start Monday at 6 o'clock, right? If the first year was Sunday at 12 o'clock midnight, the next year is going to start on Monday at 6 o'clock in the morning, because we've added 1.25 days over the entire year period. Right? Does everybody agree with that? More or less? Good. Does that really work out? How much is 7 divided into 365? 7 into 364 should come out to be roughly 52, if I'm not mistaken. Right? 52 times 7. 7 times 2 is 14. That's 4. Carry the 1. Now 7 times 5 is 35. We add 1 is 364. Oh, exactly 52 weeks. But I have that 1 1/4 extra days. 365 to 1. That's right. So if Sunday of 2020 started, if January 1st started on Sunday morning at 12 o'clock midnight, then the next year it's going to go and be 2021 is going to go and start astronomically at Monday at, not at 12 o'clock, but Monday at 6 o'clock in the morning, right? 6 o'clock in the morning. What happens if you move that another year? So the next year it's going to start with Monday night, Monday morning at 6 o'clock. The next year is going to be Tuesday morning at 6, but we have to add another 6 hours. So it's going to be Tuesday midday, right? That's going to be mainly at 12 o'clock noon. Right? So far, so good. Then the next year it's going to be at Wednesday, not no longer at noon, but Wednesday night at 6 o'clock in the evening. And then the year after that it's going to be Thursday, but not at 6 o'clock at night, but it's going to be Thursday is going to be midnight. So what's happened is that the following year we're going to start off with midnight as the beginning point. So it took us 4 years to begin once again at midnight, like the first year that we began. When we began, we discussed Sunday night at midnight. The next year didn't start at midnight. The next year only started at 6 o'clock in the morning. And the following year didn't start at 6 o'clock in the morning. It started at 12 o'clock noon. And the following year didn't start at 12 o'clock noon. It started at 6 o'clock at night. When did we get back to midnight? Only after 4 cycles, these 4 more years. And as a result of the 4 cycles, we moved all the way from Sunday down to Thursday. Does of Tachiyad the Rashi. Getting back to the Rashi now, that if we have now the Maratish in Kufa Nefelis Betchilas Alayla, when is the Kufa going to start again at the same time as when you started off your clock at the very beginning? The Rashi doesn't talk about 12 o'clock midnight. We just gave that as our example. Rashi is referring to the real when it's supposed to start, and that is Jewish calendar. It starts at 6 o'clock in the evening, right? And the original time was Tuesday night when the Kodesh Baruch Hu created the first Wednesday and the first Ma'oiras. So that was Tuesday night. Aha. So now, when is it going to start again at night? But at 6 o'clock at night, you're going to have L'soif Dalet Shanim, 4 years later. Because each time you only add 6 hours, so the next year is only going to start at 12 o'clock midnight, right? We're starting the first year, started off Tuesday night, it was at 6 o'clock in the evening. The next year is going to be 12 o'clock midnight. The following year is going to be 6 o'clock in the morning. The following year is going to be 6 o'clock noon. Oh, and then 4 years later, finally it's going to come back again to Tchilas HaLaila. So that's what Rashi's saying, that's what we
call. We add every year a day and a quarter. What do you mean we add only six hours? This is what I don't understand.
No, we're adding an additional day as well. That's why in my original example I said you keep on traveling from Sunday to Monday to Tuesday to Wednesday to Thursday. I'm leaving out the big day number not to get confused. Well, but you're 100% right. Because each year we keep on moving an extra day, but we also add plus the 6 hours. So to address what you're saying. So if we're starting at Tuesday night, we're starting at 6 o'clock Tuesday night. The next year is not going to start on Tuesday night, 6 o'clock. It's going to be add one day Wednesday night, but it's not going to be 6 o'clock. It's going to be Wednesday night at 12 o'clock midnight. 12 o'clock midnight.
So it doesn't line up again until
it only lines up again at night, that you're going to start once again at 6 o'clock, only in the fifth year. In other words, 4 years later, when you can have the 5 days.
But it's going to be 6 o'clock on Thursday, at the beginning of Thursday, not the beginning of Wednesday.
Well, it depends where you start the clock.
Okay.
So when we started from Sunday, we got to Thursday.
Okay.
So now we're starting on Tuesday night.
Okay, so now starting Tuesday night. So after four years, we traveled four days and 4 quarter days, we moved forward in the calendar 5 days.
5 days.
Right. So now we started on Tuesday evening at 6 o'clock. Right. So 5 days later, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
We're up to Sunday night.
Sunday night, right.
And that's going to be at 6 o'clock.
Right. So Sunday at 6 o'clock now is after 4 years.
Now, what's the difference when you're starting from Tuesday night until Sunday night? How many days do you have?
Five.
We start with
four plus, and you start on the fifth night.
The fifth. Five altogether. So now let's see the Gemara, see the Rashi again. That's what the Machzor Katan. Machzor Katan means this having to go through 4 years to reestablish the beginning of the Tkufa at night.
At 6 p.m.
At 6 p.m.
That's Machzor Katan.
Right, that's the Machzor Katan. And that only happens once every 4 years, because every 4 years you keep on adding the 6 hours and the additional day. Like you said, Mr. Friedland, you've added the additional day.
The fractions have to balance only after four fractions of a quarter to make a whole integer.
Exactly. And how many times it happened? Every 4 years you have the additional 6 hours. Four times six is a full day. And that's when you start again the new school for the new year, again at the same time at night, but not the same night. But it's going to be five nights later. Same Why five up. Nights? Same because up. The 4 days
plus the four quarter days of mashlim to make another fifth.
So therefore, that's what's called the machzor katan. Mm-hmm. And now look at Rashi, the simonich, and the simon is dabaz hagav. What does dabaz hagav stand for? The dalid stands for that the first tkufa started on Tuesday night, the beginning of dalid. We're now fast forwarding 4 years later, five nights, and that five nights gets us to Sunday night, which is the beginning of Beis.
Monday.
Oh, and now let's go another 4 years ahead, and now add another 5 days, and that gets us from Monday, meaning Sunday night, till Shvi, till seven. Right, 5 + 2 adds up to 7. So that means Friday night, the beginning of Shabbos, and then again 4 years further gets you now that the new tkufa, the new year, is going to begin on Hay. Hay meaning again on Wednesday night, beginning of Thursday. And then you're going to keep on going another 5 years. Sorry, 4 years, which is going to another 5 days. You go from Wednesday night, Thursday, to Monday night, Tuesday. And so on and so forth, these seven times.
So these two things only line up again after four cycles of 7 days.
Four cycles of 7 days.
Four times a quarter.
Right.
So always push you forward 5 days. But then in order to line up again with the beginning of Yom Revi, you have to wait 7 cycles.
And how much is the 7 cycles now?
The 7 cycles times 4 is going to be 28 years.
Oh, so that's what Rashi's saying. That the Zion Machzorim Ketanim, you take the Machzor Katan of these 4 years. What we've accomplished with the 4 years is that we're starting off again the new year at night at the same 6 o'clock starting point. But as we pointed out, it's not the same 6 o'clock starting point on Tuesday night. It's going to keep on drifting initially from Tuesday night till the next Sunday night, which is going to be 5 days later. And then again, the next 4 years further, again, it's going to start at 6 o'clock, but it's not going to be on the original Tuesday night. It's not going to be on Sunday night. Now it's going to be on Friday night. And therefore, you're going to have to do this 7 times, because
this
7 times,
Godel.
And that's the Machzor Godel. The final one of the 7 we had was Vav. Vav means on Wednesday night, which begins...
Thursday night. Vav is the beginning of Yom Shvi. Yom Shishi.
What's Yom Shishi?
Friday.
Friday. So it's Thursday night beginning Friday. Thank you. If we add 5 more days to that, what does that get you? To Tuesday night beginning of Wednesday. And that's the beginning now again of the Dalit, which would be the second Dalit, right? Dabaz Hagav is the 7. I'm sorry?
That's the
Birchas Hacham. And that's the Birchas Hacham. So the Har She'ena Bo L'Tchilis Leil Dalit. When are we going to start again? 6 o'clock between Tuesday night and Wednesday morning that we're going to start the new tkufa, just like it was 5,780 years ago. So Rashi kind of summarizes now. Every time we start off a new machzor katan of the 4 year cycle, we always begin at tchilas halayla, the same 6 o'clock. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world 5,780 years ago. Then it returns to Tchilas Leil Dalid. It's not just going to start at 6 o'clock. It's going to start on Tuesday night, beginning of Wednesday at 6 o'clock. It's always Wednesday. Now you're always wondering, if that's the case, I always remember we're doing the Birchas Chama in the morning. We don't do it at night.
Because you don't see the sun at night.
Chazal were mesaken that we should go make this brach in the morning, because at night you don't see anything. It's dark, so you don't know whether tkuf has begun, not begun. So therefore they push it off until always Wednesday morning. So it's always going to come out April time, because that's when the tkufas nissen, the new tkufas nissen, is going to begin. It's not going to be always on the same day, because the tkufas are not aligned with the months, and that's the reason why we have to go and add every 2.5 years, we have to add another Chodesh, that's the Ibiyur, because in fact otherwise things would drift, and then you'd have the Tkufas Nisan starting in May and June and July and August, etc., or vice versa, starting in March and in February and January. Anyway, so we keep on adding that extra month that things kind of regularize, but Tkufas Nisan is always April time.
This is the solar
year. So
this is solar count. That's the Chama. That's the Chama Tkufas.
So therefore, we started having months in there. So it doesn't make a difference because we're doing just the solar.
We're only concerned about the solar. And that's so why it will always be approximately April and always...
The famous Machlokas was ruled created in Nisan or in Tishrei, so this seems to vote for the side of
Nisan. Of Nisan, exactly. This votes
in
the
side of Nisan.
Okay, according to Tishrei, Lechari would be a Tishrei. Anyway, so that's what this is all about.
Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah, but don't we?
That's the thing. Saying we're passing with it's Nissan.
Okay, so I think we pretty much covered it, and I think we can continue from here. Zokti Yomer Tzvait, or 6 lines from the top of the Amri Bido Yomer Roy Hayam. See how Rashi explained it so beautifully with all the Rosh Tevis and Machzikot and Machzikot. Okay, it's always good to do Chazar. So now the Mishnah said, you have to make a special bracha, and then the Mishnah said, but it's only if you see it leprakim. The question is, what's the definition leprakim? If you see it anything more frequently than 30 days, you would not make the bracha. If you see it less frequently than 30 days, you would make the bracha. Whenever it says oisa, typically there's an ois that ends, it says, add the word masa. When we always make the bracha, we always say oisa masa brachas. Anyway, back in our Mishnah, we said on Nehorois are rivers, you got to make the bracha oisa masa brachas. When we learned the Mishnah, we already said, Mishem the Toisvis, it's got to be the four big rivers, and I don't mean the four great lakes, but the four big rivers which are enumerated in Parshas Brachas, which are the Pras, and the Chidekel, and the Pishoin, and the Gichoin. Our Gemara is not going to refer to the Pishoin and the Gichoin, we're only going to refer to the first two, the Pros and the Chidekel. And the Chidekel has another name, also called Diglas. And the Gemara is going to tell us that in the times of the Persians and later days, they tried to go and change the course of some of these rivers. Why did they change the course? Presumably for purposes of irrigation of fields, or for building, or whatever governments decide to go and try to change the course of the river. And since we're trying to make the bracha oisa masa brachas, now remember Kodesh Baruch Hu during the original creation of the world, so if there's been a change in the course, so he can't go and make that bracha oisa masa brachas, except for that portion which has still remained intact in the same course since Shivas Yimei Brachas. So that's what the Gemara introduces at this point. So Raya Pras, whoever sees the Euphrates, Agishra de Bavel, on the Gesher, on the bridge of Bavel, Oymer, he can go and say Baruch Hashem Asim Reish, not a problem. For in them, but today, the Shanyua Persoi, the Persians changed the course, then you can only make this bracha mi Shavar, mi Bei Shavar Uliel. Bei Shavar was the name of the place, and higher than that, that they knew had not been changed over time, and therefore, above that, you can make the Baruch Hashem Asim Reish, but not lower down. If Yosef Omar, may Eid the Kira Uliel, only from the place called Eid the Kira and higher up, but lower down, that's already changed course. If you remember Abba, who Roya Diglis, Diglis is the second one, also called the Chidekel, Agishra de Shabbistina, on the Gesher, on the bridge of Shabbistina, he can go and say, Oysa Masa Brejus, no problem. Now, why does the Torah call Diglis Chidekel, my Chidekel, and Rabashi, Shememov, Chadin Vekam. I think Rashi brings this in Chumash as well, that the waters of the Diglis are Chad, are sharp, Vekam, and they're also light. Now what does it mean that they happen to be sharp and light? Light, explains Rashi, means that they are not heavy. In other words, you can have other waters that might be laden with all types of minerals and stuff, and then you drink it, you get a heaviness when you're drinking them. So this is nice and light, a soft drink, so to speak. Chadin apparently means that they're somewhat sharp in taste. So it's a sharp taste. Mekal, and they're easy for the system to digest and to drink. My frost, what does the word frost come from? Shemeimov, Parim, Verovim, that their waters go and increase and are fruitful. Presumably that means for the crops, and presumably also from people when they drink it. It's very, very nourishing, very healthy, and all the rest. The Amarab, when you see that the B'nai M'choyza are very, very sharp, Rava was the Rav in Machoisa, so people in his community were sharp people. Shemdashasu Mayid Diglis, because that's the Chad in the Kalin, they had the sharpness from the Chad part of the Diglis. Haidi Gechoyri, the reason why they have such a, the article says a ruddy appearance. Rashi says that they have a rose complexion. They're very reddish. Is mishum de mishamish biyoyim yimama. Unfortunately, they're not mishamish balayla, they're mishamish biyoyim, and so therefore that has something to do with the shamish, and that causes them to be a little bit more light skinned or rose skinned or whatever. By the night, the reason why their eyes keep on shifting back and forth, mishum de dairu bebeis oifel, because they live in dark homes. Since they live in dark homes, they're constantly looking around trying to find something, and it's difficult to see. So that's why they have the shifting eyes. Alak Shom, it says in the Mishnah, when you have a nice amount of geshem, then you make a bracha atoiva meitiv. Then when it rains, you know what you're supposed to say. When do you make a bracha? In fact, that's the meaning today, as you, I'm sure many of you have noticed, that when the kala is approaching the podium, the platform where the chosin is standing, then the chosin typically goes a couple of steps towards the kala to go and greet her. See, here too, what does that mean, the viksham chosin kras kala? It means that it's the rainfall has been so substantial that the earth has absorbed as much as it can absorb, and now you have puddles of water, pools of water that have collected on top of the surface. They haven't been absorbed yet because Baruch Hashem, there's a great, great downfall, a great rainfall. And now, when the waters come down from heaven and they continue to fall in that pool, then if you look at it, it looks like some of the drops are jumping up because of they're kind of splashing into the existing pool of water. So if you look at it, it's almost like a bit of a mirage, as if some of the waters are jumping up as the waters are falling into it.
What does this have to do with Chosin Kala?
Just like the Chosin comes to greet the Kala as the Kala is coming down the aisle.
The water jumps up to meet the water coming down.
Right.
It's a metaphor, a metaphor.
A metaphor, yeah. Anyway, the illusion part is you don't really have any water jumping up,
yeah.
But since drops fall down, so then some of the waters that were there previously look like they're jumping up. Okay, anyway, the point is, that's the time that you make the bracha. May mevarcha, what bracha do you make? It's not your standard bracha to Hashem. But I'm review the moidim anachnu lach al kol tipa v'tipa sharam talanu. For Rabbi Yochanan, the same bracha. V'ilu filu mo l'shir kayam. V'chuli, meaning he's quoting from Nishmas. Ain on a maspikel loydus l'chay Hashem l'kein ha'ad sh'tishtachve until the ganze shtickle for the ganze Nishmas. Baruch at Hashem roiv ha'idois. Pray Timura, you make a bracha roiv ha'idois. Pray kol ha'idois, shouldn't you say? Kodesh Baruch you should be more than everything was in roiv ha'idois. Amar av eima ha'kei ha'idois. Ah, amar epape. Hilkach, Mendy. It's not your roof.
Third time.
Or second time. That you're going to tell us tomorrow, yeah. Right? Hilkach, the minu l'tavai. Therefore, you should go and say both. To make everybody happy. That's up to the third son, or second son of the 10 sons of the Rabbah. The El Akasha, the Mice was a Shver. Here we send the Mishi, supposed to make a bracha, bracha toiv ha-meitiv. And then you go again, you do some ganz nishmas, a whole page or two. The El Akasha, the El Akasha, the Shomash Mishma, the Choza Merse. It depends whether you heard that it rained, or you actually saw that it rained. So which one is which? See, Mara says the Shema Mishma, Hainu Besuras Toiv voice. What bracha do you make on that? The Boram Rocha Ba Toiv HaMeitiv. So, if when it says in the Mishnah, Alek Shem Meka Toiv HaMeitiv, that you just heard about the rain, you didn't actually see it with your own eyes. But if you see the rain, then you make the Ganze Nishma, the Boram Anach Malach, the whole thing. Frank Tamara, is that really true? That Meshoma Mishmi Mebsuras Toivis, and that you make a Baruch HaToiv HaMeitiv with Tanan. Go back to our Mishnah. After Geshomim it says, Mebsuras Toivis, Oime Baruch HaToiv HaMeitiv. So now, you're repeating the same halacha twice. You're repeating the halacha by calling it Geshom, by calling it rain, and then you're calling it Mebsuras Toivis. So, of course, Mebsuras Toivis could be a much wider category than Geshomim. A person can go and greet you and say you just won the lottery, and you just became a millionaire overnight. So, that's a ultim psura toiva, for which L'choi would justify a toiva meitim. But the point is, if our Mishnah, when referring to Geshamim, is only talking about the good report, then leave out Geshamim altogether and just simply say, al psura toivis, baruch ha toiva meitim. Both cases, the person actually saw the rain. Do you make a toiv ameitav? Do you say nishmas? Here a drop came. Here it came in buckets. It really came down. So Rashi says, if it's osaporta only a little bit, then you say the nishmas. Thank you. A kol tipa v'tipa. If it really fell down in great amounts, then you go baruch atoiv ameitav, because this is wonderful for everybody. In both cases, it came down a heavy rain. It depends if the person is a farmer or not. If he has a farm, so for him, it's not just a case of, oh, wonderful, Baruch Hashem, so much rain. This is his parnasa. Baruch Hashem, now the ground is going to be fertile, all the crops are going to grow properly, etc., etc. So he makes a bracha, ha-toy v'ha-meitiv. Leslie Arif, he doesn't have his own property, so he still says, moidim anach l'loch, I'll call tipa v'tipa, but he doesn't say, ha-toy v'ha-meitiv.
Isn't this for careful? Didn't you say that if it's too much, then there's puddles? So
that was the previous teretz. Now it's the boy same, and now we have a new teretz. Zorch Dimara, Isli Ara, if he has a piece of land, he makes a bracha toiva meitav. But tanan, we have another tanan or brisa. But tanya, state the brisa. Bona bayis chadash. If a person went and built a brand new home, the kona kelim chadashim, or he bought new furniture, new kelim, or he makes a bracha moshe chani v'liyola l'admanazet. Ah, okay. The Gra takes out shalev shalachem and my toiva meitav. So now the Gemara is assuming that just like when you own your own house, and you're building a new house, you make a shechianu. If you had this new rain that just occurred, you should also say a shechianu, and you shouldn't say atoy v'meitiv. Because why are we going to buy chodesh? Don't you go and say atoy v'meitiv? So it sounds like that if it's just that you have property, like the buy chodesh, make a shechianu. So the chayyim gisham, you should also shechianu. Where is this atoy v'meitiv coming? It really depends on when you own the property by yourself, or you end up owning it with other shutfis. If it's your own, nobody else, then you would be appropriate to say shechion. If you own it together with a shutif, then you go and say atoiv ameitav. Why? Because it's toiv for me, and it's meitav also for my shutif. Atoiv ameitav by definition means it's not just I'm the only selfish guy, but others are also getting the benefit. That's why you make a toiv ameitav. V'hatanya, Rashi said, v'hatanya is b'nichusa, k'tzori shogava. The bottom line is, the summary is, al shaloi, if it only affects him, huwayim v'bar shev, yivim l'azman azet. Ashra v'shalcha v'eroi, and then he makes a bracha, baruch ha-toiv ameitav. If he's the only one that got the benefit, don't you go and make a toiv ameitav. Vatanya, omrulei, they told him the good news, yol de ishtri zachar, oh, you just had a baby boy, oh, he makes a baruch ha-toiv ameitav. The choyra, nobody else has a benefit from it, only he has a benefit. So why is he making the baruch ha-toiv ameitav? He didn't make a baruch ha-shechiyonu, but it's a toiv ameitav. So it's more a very obvious answer. It's not only that he is happy, his wife is also happy, presumably she's also happy, a baby boy, so therefore it's toy for him and mate for his wife. Toshima may suffer when I'm supposed to show him a person's father passed away, who Yorshai, and he has now gotten a nice Yerusha. But initially, when he hears Meis Aviv, he makes Baruch Dayan Emes. Now, his father passed away. But after that, he makes a Baruch Atoy Mameitav. The Baruch Hashem. Now he has a nice Yerusha. And the Gemara assumes that he is a only son. And if he's an only son, why do you make a Toy Mameitav? Like Ashachiano. He's not the only one. There are other brothers too. So it's not only good for me, it's good for them. Atoy Mameitav to all of us. Toshima. What about Shinu Yayim? In the middle of the meal, they brought a brand new bottle of wine. Ain't Tzarech Levarach, you don't have to make a new Boirei Pri HaGofen, because the first Boirei Pri HaGofen is Moiti, the first wine, and the second one, and the third wine. Any one wine that you bring, you make, you don't have to make a new Boirei Pri HaGofen. However, Shini Mokom, if you move from one dining room to another dining room, then Tzarech Levarach, then they bring you a new bottle of wine, then you have to make a new Brach. You don't have to make a new Boirei Pri HaGofen, but if the new wine is a much better wine, then you make a Baruch HaToy V'Meter. The Gemara is assuming that this person is drinking wine on his own, so why would he make a Toiv HaMeitav? He said it has to be other people too. It's a ganze party, 5, 10, 20 people, so it's not only Toiv for me, it's Meitav for everyone. Have a wonderful day.